Just what is your opinion of the world's situation today?
Las cucarachas entran, pero no pueden salir.
No, sir. He doesn't like it.
Thank you, Mr. Horse.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're sponsored by Blammo as we play Ren and Stimpy, Stimpy's Invention, by old friends Blue Sky Software for the Sega Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the true inspiration for Powdered Toast Man, it's Yule Hauser.
Stimpy's latest invention, the Mutate-O-Matic, just exploded while Stimpy was trying to turn ordinary garbage into a delicious glazed ham.
I'm glad you read that, because now I don't have to try so hard with the plot summary of
this
one.
That is the plot of this game.
Yes. Told in excruciating detail by a cutscene at the beginning, too. And our other regular co-host, he invented a happy helmet to make us feel better. It's Todd Brisket.
Ooh. I'm going to be serious for a second here, folks. Will we be able to cover this game objectively in light of the troubling allegations?
Oh. Against Johnny K?
Against Johnny K. Johnny Crick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like to separate the art from the artist.
Yes. That's why you're so into those Polanski joints like Chinatown.
Love them.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypppodcast.com. This week's game is Ren and Stimpy, Stimpy's Invention. Released in 1993, the game has you playing as Ren and Stimpy. Stimpy's mutating invention breaks, and you have to collect all the pieces throughout the levels of the game. I was actually surprised that I enjoyed this one because I had a negative experience with the Super Nintendo Ren and Stimpy games in my youth. Huel, I believe you nominated this game for coverage. How did you like playing it this week?
Yes, I nominated this because this is one of Huel's famous licensed Genesis games. So to tell a little tale here, I actually visited Mama Huel's residence, my former residence, last weekend. Mm-hmm. And she's cleaning some stuff out. She's ready to clean up the basement a little bit.
She got the scrapers out. She got a shovel.
Uh-huh. What?
She got a spade. She got to scrape all the crust out of there.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually found my old Genesis, the famed Genesis that I had been playing on as a Ute.
Ooh.
And in that box was Desert Strike, which we had played.
Oh,
yes, covered by the
Shaq
show.
Shaq Fu was not in there. I don't know where that is.
Oh.
But also in there, I forget what else. But also in there, the Ren and Stimpy show presents Stimpy's Invention.
Ooh.
So I'm like, man, I've brought this up before. I remember it being fun. This, to my memory, is the first game I ever beat.
Really?
Ooh.
Stimpy's Invention, yes.
I can believe that.
Yeah, exactly, because I was both terrible at games and this has a password system, so I could at least come back. as far as I can remember, this is the first game I ever beat. Playing it this week, it's fun. It captures the style of the show. Everything's wacky and gross. You're farting a lot. You're spinning hairballs a lot.
Spinning hairballs, farting, that's what you do.
Plenty of hairball. You're throwing body parts around. You do play as both Ren and Stimpy. So this is what I like to consider the original Banjo-Kazooie, the inspiration, because you do a lot of dual moves. You use the other person to do a lot of attacks and jumps and things like that. So it's very fun controls. I don't think it's bad. Todd, you seem to think it was bad. It's just kind of hard in places.
No, it's bad in regards to just it's no Mario. Like
no,
level,
it's
level a, design no. is everything.
It's an indie.
Yes, you have to. You have
Nickelodeon have, cartoon video game. I mean, there's limits.
Sure,
here.
But when you have a character and you have a set of moves, and this game does have a lot of moves in it, it has to apply logically to the level you're playing to provide an appropriate challenge. And this one is
okay.
It's just all over the place. Like, there's a certain point where I just couldn't jump over a crevasse, a crevice, as they say. And
which crevasse? Are you in the zoo?
Yeah.
It's not difficult.
No, it's not, no. So it's not a difficult game at all. It's just it does not it not a good platformer. That's my critique.
Yeah,
of it. Not
I
a
can,
good platformer.
I can say that. I can see that. Because maybe the jumping is a little inaccurate. Because there are two different jumps. That is also possibly the confusing part.
Yeah.
There's like the normal jump with the jump button, but there's also like a galloping jump where you're either riding Stimpy as Ren or what's the other one?
Or the fart jump.
Well, the fart jump's straight up.
Yeah.
Or you're pole vaulting as Stimpy. There are two different movesets, but they each basically do the same thing.
Yeah.
Whether you're playing as Stimpy throwing Ren around or as Ren farting Stimpy around. So yes. It's really the preference of who you like better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ren uses like a fly swatter and Stimpy uses
a towel.
Yeah.
A towel whip for whatever reason. I don't know how that...
I think in one episode he goes to like a spa or something.
Probably.
Yeah, I would say one thing that this game does really well is that it does stay close to show references. Like whenever Ren dies, runs out of energy, he lays on the ground, his bare bottom, his buttocks is shaken in the air.
His rear end.
And that is exactly ripped from one of the early season episodes where he's in the exact same position. So it does take a lot of visuals.
He does that because he's crying. Like you seem to be. He seems suggestive, sure. But he's just laying there crying because he's
laying there crying because he's out of energy. Yes,
he's died.
But that's taken from directly from an episode. So
right.
You know the visuals are pretty spot on for an adaptation of a cartoon. The visuals are pretty good.
Well, of all things to adapt into a 16-bit video game, cartoons are probably the easiest and closest that you can get to, like, the source material. And I think they did. They stuck to it. Like, I mean, not all the enemies are from the show, but they're all just, like, weird things going on, you know?
Yeah, they're things you would expect to like, slap around as Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. All the things you're slapping around.
Yeah. So.
Steve, no, did you like this?
Yeah, I like this up into, so late in stage two, you're at the zoo, and you get to some monkeys.
That's early in stage two.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was like the second portion of stage two. Like,
oh,
after
wait,
you
you're
get
right.
Past the
you
hippos
gotta go through
and
the,
stuff.
Yeah, those damn hippos.
So the issue is the monkeys, they make a very high pitched screeching noise.
Right.
Yes. Not even higher than that. And the dog was freaking out about this. Like he was not a fan of this in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to try playing this with no sound, and I was not good enough to do that. So
what?
It was weird. I got
it sounds something you played this game.
Yeah, I was getting used to this game with the sound, and also I kind of liked the sound because it was like Ren and Stimpy sound effects too.
Well, sure, but if the only alternative is a dog freaking out and possibly clawing your eyes out, I think you could sacrifice the sound for that.
Well, here's the thing. I tried to play without the sound, and I immediately was playing much worse. So it was actually a little surprising to me how bad I was without the sound.
Well, that monkey part is kind of hard. because you have to stun the monkeys that are throwing bananas at you.
Do you have to shock the monkey?
Yep. You sure do. They get very shocked when a hairball comes their way.
You got to spank that monkey with your fly swatter.
Peter Gabriel says you have to shock the monkey.
Yeah. So I got to that point. It was pretty simple up to that point. And then I watched on YouTube for a good portion of the rest of it. Speed run for this, by the way, is 25 minutes. So
yeah, I can see that.
It's not, you know, it is a fun little game, but if I had paid full price for this back in the day, I don't know if I would have been pleased with it. It doesn't seem like an especially long game.
Well, what if you were a gigantic Ren and Stimpy fan?
Oh, as a young kid, as a huge Ren and Stimpy fan, this would be the perfect game. I would have played the hell out of this one.
and
you know, from my experience, I was a Ren and Stimpy follower back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't watched it in a couple of decades. I have not seen how it's held up. But playing this one this week, it does seem like it is the best Ren and Stimpy game that I've played.
Okay.
Definitely.
Would you like to mention the other ones?
Fire Dogs for the Super Nintendo. I did not beat the first stage in that one. This is a game where you can actually do stuff. It's not just an impossible platformer where they make everything ambiguous and you cannot beat the first enemy. It's no Bebe's Kids, you know what I'm trying to get at. This is a game where you can actually do stuff.
Is Fire Dogs the one where you have to collect money? Because that's the one I played, and I just remember thinking it was a rental for me, and I played it for about an hour and a half, and then just didn't play it for the rest of the weekend. So.
Yeah, Fire Dogs is a game, you know, it's been a long time because I wrote that one off. if that's a game where you played it for like 30 minutes and gave up, definitely. You can play more of this game than that one. And, you know, from all of the Ren and Stimpy games I've played in my days, and I've played a couple, this is the best one. But being the best licensed Nickelodeon game of Ren and Stimpy does not good platformer make, as they say.
Sure. I mean, if you're going to be like a giant dork about it and have to analyze the merits of the platformer and the genre of game you're achieving, then whatever. It's not great, but it's fun. It does what it's there to do. It does what it's there to do.
You're digging in deep here because you owned this thing as a kid.
And I'm digging in deep because I think you're being unnecessarily harsh.
I know you still own it.
I still own
it. Under your pillow every night before you go to sleep. You put it under your pillow.
I didn't even try to turn it on.
And you say, pray John K. Praise John K.
Yep, that's me.
Every night before you go to sleep. I know you do that.
John Krasinski.
But.
Jim himself. The new Jack Ryan.
For a licensed game, this is great, a fantastic licensed game. It has so many good things going for it that reference the show itself.
Think about
so many combos you can do between.
Think about
Ren
the world I grew up in and the licensed games I had to slog through to get to this one. Just think about it.
Shaq Fu.
the Crash Dummies.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yep. There's did more. You, I remember.
Did you have any other licensed games that you rescued from Mama Hewell's house?
I forgot to look at the box again. I just know I have Desert Strike, and I think Sonic 2's in there, which is I don't even remember what is that game.
Oh,
I never heard of it.
Yeah, is that a sequel?
It's weird that there's a sequel to some game I've never heard of. And I think, I don't know if it's something else we played or not, but yeah, there's only four in there. So the rest of them, I don't know where they are. So great story.
Probably crumbled to dust.
Probably.
No Chameleon Kid.
I never had Kid Chameleon.
Kid Chameleon, yes.
Because it was not a licensed property.
So I did watch a little bit of Ren and Stimpy on YouTube this week, although not as much as I would have liked, because like there just are not that many clips of it on there. Like Nickelodeon must be taking them down or something.
Yeah, I think they. Hey, answer A1. They want you to buy the DVDs. Answer A2. Mm. They do not want Ren and Stimpy out in the public eye at this point.
for a number of reasons, probably.
All the fart humor
between Johnny K and well, I can get into some of the history now. So there's a surprising number of Ren and Stimpy games released, 5 games starring the duo, and then an additional 5 where they are supporting or special characters. Oddly, these games are mostly kart racers and Nicktoons MLB, as in a baseball game where you can play as Ren, Stimpy, Powdered Toast Man, and the Gilded Yak.
Oh, man.
So on one hand, I'm like, wow, that sounds weird. But on the other hand, I'm like, you know, that sounds fun.
Why now, these kart the kart racers, are they like just Nickelodeon generic kart racer games where they have multiple cartoon characters?
It's basically Mario Kart but with Nicktoons characters.
Okay.
So
what platform was this for?
I believe all of them. It's
why didn't I have this?
I was not aware until this episode. There's been like 3 of these games, and there's another one scheduled for October 2018.
What?
So yeah, you can. It's most of their licensed characters. I think Hey Arnold is in there.
Yeah, I'm sure they've excised Ren and Stimpy at this point.
In the past, I don't know,
decade.
They were in the most recent one, which I think was still like 2008 or 2009. Which was here's the other news item I have about this. As for Ren and Stimpy, the show. After 5 seasons and 52 episodes in the early 1990s, it was canceled. Johnny K, he actually wore out his welcome after 2 seasons, getting fired because he wanted to run an episode in which George Licker was beaten by Ren. So,
yes, George Licker, that classic character, that classic angry, racist, white male character, yes.
Yes, in the episode, which I think made it onto DVDs and then eventually to Spike, like Ren is like really beating the crap out of him with a bat, and it's like, oh well, this is probably not appropriate for Nickelodeon.
I didn't know who that was by name, but now after searching for it, I recognize this character.
Yeah, he's like you know how Sylvester and Tweety have like the little old lady who owns them.
Yeah, he's the equivalent of that little old lady. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the demented Ren and Stimpy kind of version of that character. So there's for Rons and Stompies here. There's a Johnny K led reboot in 2003, which lasted only 3 episodes, and which was panned because it was even more violent and disgusting than the original.
No, I did not watch any of those reboot the Ren and Stimpy adult party episodes. Mm-hmm. Even more violent and disgusting than the original, that would not be a detriment to the people watching it. People would enjoy that. I think it was just a bad implementation. They just did not recapture the magic of the original run.
I thought you said you didn't watch it.
Well,
no, yeah. I've seen the previews. I've seen the clips. The commercials.
The commercials.
Well. Here's the thing. I kind of get the feeling Johnny K, he needs an editor. He can't be out there in the wild.
He needs a wrangler.
He needs a life editor.
Yeah, that too. But like so the Wikipedia entry for the reboot noted that Ren and Stimpy are now a homosexual couple. Where there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a little odd. Sure. Later episodes, the plan was that Stimpy would get pregnant with Ren's child, and then give birth to fecal matter.
Okay.
So that that was, and also there was.
I see that as a plot twist episode. Yeah, yeah, you can see that.
And also that they both would be drinking vomit from time to time.
Sure.
So
and what episode did have relations with an underage woman?
I think that was episode 4, and they unfortunately cut it off before then.
Well, that is the accusation about old Johnny K, that he was grooming a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old animation artist, and he was cavorting with them once they moved out to California with him. So,
yep,
it was not especially a great story. That came out, I think, within the last 2 years or so.
It was like a few months ago. Yeah, well, but within a year.
The allegations.
Well,
bye.
Yeah, since then he has not been working. After Ren and Stimpy, he was doing some video direction for Tenacious D.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Tenacious D collab.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, in all due respect, he is the modern day reincarnation of what's his face? Mel Blanc's guy. All right. We gotta cut this.
Oh.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about
what's that dude's shit.
Walt Disney.
Not Walt Disney.
Well, Mel Blanc was a famous voice artist. But I don't think he has the seedy past of Johnny
sure
K here.
He does, but just we don't know about it.
I don't know. I feel like he can't defend himself. But no, Johnny K's got some issues.
Yeah, we should keep talking about him. It's probably a good.
Just keep going with it.
Probably a good idea.
Hey, this is good pod. Good pod where I can't remember who I'm talking about.
This is...
And we're routinely diving down into the deep, dark issues of Nickelodeon.
Yeah. The seedy underbelly. We'll note John Krasinski, though. Brown graduate. Good for him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Married to Emily Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. So anyways, that's the history of this one in Ren and Stimpy.
Yep. We covered it.
Chuck Jones. Chuck Jones. Famous cartoonist Chuck Jones.
Todd remembered how
why
to
was
Google.
I not remembering that? Famous cartoonist Chuck Jones.
I don't know.
Oh,
probably because he sounds like a third string cornerback.
Yeah, were you just trying to think of famous cartoonists or something? Or
no. So his
all them good good drawing mans.
No, the not just the drawings, the storyboarding, the pacing, the artwork. Bob Clampett, another one.
yeah, well, Chuck
you know,
Jones.
John Kay. John Kay is the next iteration of Chuck Jones and Bob Clampett. From their times.
Oh yeah. Well, Chuck Jones, he was Roadrunner, right?
Yeah, he's famous for Roadrunner and Coyote. Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, like those are kind of like I mean they seem so cliche now, but really they were cartoons that made fun of other cartoons.
Right. Like exactly. And I mean it's making fun not only making fun of it's paying homage to all the cartoons that came before them.
Yeah.
They embody everything about what makes a visual cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you know, so Ren and Stimpy, I mentioned I was able to see a couple clips. It does still really hold up some of the episodes. I was watching the end of Space Madness. That is really funny still.
It is good. Space Madness is an episode by itself that holds up today. Like you can watch that outside of Ren and Stimpy and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the other thing I noticed is also he is leaning heavily on Billy West. And as Huel mentioned in the run-up to the show, you know, Billy West, probably the best voice actor of of our generation, definitely, but maybe even of all time.
I think so. I mean, Mel Blanc, as they say, has a trophy right now, but I think Billy West has taken that over.
Blanc has the iconic characters, but I think West just has the range to do almost like any kind of character. And sure, I think that's what really puts him in a different class.
Yeah, when you consider on Futurama, he did Fry, Zoidberg, and the Professor.
Mm-hmm. And like in Ren and Stimpy, he's like 90% of the voices like that you hear are him.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
In the later seasons, in the first, you know, hey, let's be fair. First two seasons, Ren was John Kay himself.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but the fact that West could just take it over.
Yeah, that is true. West could take it over. Yeah.
And then just probably be better.
Mm-hmm.
And the bee from the Honey Nut Cheerios commercials. Another iconic character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the yellow M&M from those M&M commercials.
Not forget. I think he's the red M&M. Yeah.
But he also did a lot of incidentals on the old Ren and Stimpy. Like, he's the announcer at the end of Space Madness. And
right.
And I was like, holy crap, that's definitely Billy West. And then it's hilarious. So, but yeah, I enjoyed this game. It's not, you know, I'd call it a slightly above average game. So, yeah.
Does that mean that you have a segment you would like to tell us?
Well, maybe later in the show. But for right now,
wow.
The segment I wanted to do.
We know who the host is.
Well, yeah.
How did Mookie, Stick, and Tonto get involved with the plague?
What?
Wow, I don't.
What is that even from?
I have no clue what that's from. Mookie, Stick, and Tonto?
How did Mookie, Tonto. Stick, and Tonto get involved with the plague?
What is that, Tom?
Warcraft?
little gym. little gym called River City Ransom.
Oh. Wow.
That's a deep pull.
Oh my god.
I don't even remember. So I guess there must be gang members called Mookie, Stick, and Tonto.
Yeah. Mookie. You got Stick. You got Tonto.
Mookie Betts. Hell of a player.
He's fine. he's probably getting home runs on the Phillies right now.
He's no Gabe Kapler in the outfield, I'll tell you that.
No, who could be?
Yeah, the old
Cotter.
Oh god, I forget his nickname.
The Jaw.
it was something ethnic, which is why I don't want to guess what it is, but
don't even go on that ledge.
Now we're going to have our own allegations.
Oh, here we go. The Hebrew Hammer.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
That's not so bad. That's not so bad. It could be a lot worse.
Just wanted to make sure I didn't get that one wrong. That wouldn't have been bad.
Something ethnic.
Popeye no Bichu volleyball.
Oh, boy. What? What was that one? All these hidden drops.
Oh.
I'm waiting to spring these on.
Oh, Fuel, you're having fits.
Wow.
Anyways, so Fuel, did you take a glimpse at the manual for this one?
Not only did I get a glimpse of the manual, I have it in my hands right now.
Oh!
Real paper. Real paper. Leafing through. I'll start off right off the bat, a disappointing amount of sass. This could have used so much more sass. You think of the source material, you think you got words you can put on paper. This should have more sass. I mean, there's a good amount. I was just expecting more. So they do the normal stuff. They get into a plot summary, some tips. There's no drawings. It's all screenshots.
What?
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's a cartoon.
So much lost potential, it sounds like.
I know. They got 2 pages of Ren's moves, 2 pages of Stimpy's moves, because there are a bunch.
Quite a lot of moves, yes.
Something I like is they have summaries and tips for each level. Like in the neighborhood, make sure you pick up all the goodies and smash the cabbage heads in Mr. Horace's kitchen, then climb into the freezer. Oh, one thing we didn't really mention, these are like multi-stage levels, which I liked. Like you start out outside, then you go into the house, and then you're jumping around the kitchen, then you go into the freezer, and the freezer's an entire level. For some reason, you're tiny, and you're just jumping around the freezer. So that's it. That's nice. So yeah, each level has its own summary. The last level is the Mutate-O-Matic itself. Once you get it built, you have to go turn it off, which is funny. Because, like, why would you build it just to turn it off? Another thing, this is something I found, or I first found during the Bionic Commando episode. We have an author for this manual as well.
Ooh, nice. Ooh.
The manual was authored by Carol Ann Hanshaw.
Oh, a lady.
What?
A lady manual writer. She gets a credit for this one. So yeah, something I need to look for more often is, do they actually credit someone for the manual? So Carol, you did an okay job. Some room for improvement. Considering I gave Time Crisis 1 for the PlayStation 2 a 3 out of 5 last week, I can't go below that because this at least, it does what it's supposed to. It's got a good amount of sass, could use a little more. So I'm just going to go 3 out of 5 Mario 2s once again.
3 out of 5. 3 out of 5 is decent.
It's decent.
For a manual. But
precisely.
For a Ren and Stimpy licensed property manual, I'm going to give this one a...
Disappointed!
Oh, okay.
Sorry, let me pump the volume.
Yeah, maybe...
Disappointed!
There we go.
Yeah, that's better. There's so much sass that could be put into this thing.
I know. That's why it's not a 5.
So I am now on the Sega Retro page for Carol Ann Hanshaw. She wrote like 24 different manuals here. Some games we've played or talked about, like Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkatron.
Ooh, oh, that's a sequel. Yep.
Home Alone for the Genesis.
Oh, the Genesis. Okay.
Oh, Home Alone. Yeah.
Yep. Doom for the 32X, that classic one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Dune.
Dune?
Wait, Doom. We need to spell this out for our international listeners that can't understand our accents. Are you saying Doom? D-O-O-M?
Doom 2.
Doom?
D-O-O-M.
Okay.
Comic Zone.
Oh, we covered that.
That was a good one. I remember that one being a good one.
Early up. Hey. Listeners, go back and check that one out. Early app. Around the 20s, 30s, and, around there.
Echo the Dolphin, along with...
Oh, we also covered that.
Apparently, also another game we should probably check out. Surf Ninjas for the Game Gear.
We've not done the Game Gear game.
Whoa, that is a meta game because the Game Gear features prominently in the movie Surf Ninjas.
Oh, it's like the talk boy of Surf Ninjas.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Because we were talking about Home Alone. Yeah. It is the talk boy of Surf Ninjas. Yes.
That's all I'm going for. Oh, boy.
Well, I was trying to see if there were any other credits for her or if she's what she's up to nowadays, but cannot find that. It looks like she last wrote in a for Vrigi Games in 2003.
Ooh, she's probably retired.
Yeah, she did Devil May Cry 2.
Hmm.
So.
I mean, that sounds like enough to retire on right there.
That is not a manual I have read.
it's after your manuals.
It's post-2000.
Yeah. According to LinkedIn... She's a freelance writer in California still.
Great.
Ah.
Yeah.
So we can hire her.
Oh. No, I don't think I'm going to pass on writing all the scripts for the show to someone else.
I'll just keep doing it. Maybe I can hire her for some punch-ups.
Yeah, polish. I mean, you know, every week we get the script from Huel. Hey, full disclosure, let's peel the curtain back. We do record mainly on Wednesday nights, and we get the script from Huel from his hands around Wednesday morning around 10 a.m., I would say, 10, 11.
Yeah, I try to give you a little bit of heads up.
Yeah, and hey, I'm reading your words right now, and you wrote this line here. Hey, read this, say this thing. I'm reading the word that Huel wrote right now. And, you know, we get those around 10, 11 a.m.
The weird part is, I do put before every line, hey, read this thing. Just to make sure you know what you're supposed to do.
So, I mean, just because you pump out that script by, you know, 11 a.m. at the latest on a Wednesday, that doesn't give much time for punch-ups before we record.
Well, I could always, like, send it to her first just to see, give her a once-over. I guess that's what a punch-up would be. Yeah, giving it to her and having her change it. So I'm glad I explained that.
Yeah, just to polish. Oof. We went on quite the journey there.
Oh, man.
So, my regular segment is the Herzog hierarchy. Herzog. Yes, exactly. And this week, it's this game's checking in at Herzog, Sabin, or Sabin.
Wow!
Sabin.
I'm giving it a 7 in American.
That is...
numbers.
In American.
That is way...
Yeah.
It's higher.
It's a little high.
Than I would give it.
You know what? It is slightly above average. So really? To me, that's a 7.
Slightly above average is a 7 on your Herzog.
Todd, scale. are you questioning someone else's personal rating system?
Is no, not doing? At all. Not at all. Hmm. Not at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's average is 5. So this is above average. So that's about 7.
You got 5. You got 6.
Yeah.
You got 7.
A lot of good numbers out there. So, Black Todd, lot of good numbers out there.
Good numbers out
there. Wow.
Yep.
I never knew.
Todd, how about you? What do you got? What's this clocking in at
for the DuckTales? Ooh, I think you're referring to the DuckTales scale, which has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and replayability. Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this game specifically, because this is the first time for me playing it this week. But I do have plenty of nostalgia for Rin and Stimpy, both of them. I put my eyeballs on those Nickelodeon artifacts many times as a kid. And this game, out of all of the Rin and Stimpy games I've played, I think it follows the closest to the feeling of a Rin and Stimpy episode.
Yeah.
So nostalgia is pretty good on this one, just due to the fact that they apply themselves well to the source material. Replayability? No. Sorry. No. I'm not going to play this game again. It isn't. Hey, like I said, this ain't no Mario when it comes to platforming. I'm not going to replay this one. So factoring those two primary factors in, I would calculate Rin and Stimpy : Stimpy's Adventure for the Sega Genesis.
No, no, but continue.
At a 0.20 on the DuckTales scale.
Man! Wow.
Oh, So close. So close.
0.21.
Oh, that is super close.
Oh, my God. That's two in a row that have like been within like 0.3.
Oh,
God.
That was very
close. You said the two, and I was sweating.
I know.
Sorry, I interrupted you because it's Stimpy's invention, not adventure.
Did I say adventure? I said, sorry. Yes. Sometimes I don't speak
I'm a stickler for titles. Man, all right. 0.20. Alrighty. Zeroing in there.
Good times. So close. Well, before we move on, Todd, I understand you had one more regular segment you wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, I think we got a good feeling on how we feel about this game. And, you know, I think it's an okay licensed game. Huel mm-hmm. loves this. This is his Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Steve thinks this is okay. But I do have one reason why Stimpy's invention for the Sega Genesis is the most best game of all time. And it's a very quick one. Written to us by Leanne on September of 2017. And the title of Leanne's rating is, "Got it to work. Thank you." And she wrote, Leanne wrote, "Never mind. Got it. Thank you. 5 stars.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that is accurate and a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, and I want to say that is the only 5-star review I could find for this game.
Huh, so. Okay.
Mm. Well,
you might have a point here. Never mind. That's a good one.
Oh, wow. I'm just glad you got it to work.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as somebody's happy.
Well, on that note, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add before we moved right along?
We barely touched on that. This is a 2-player game. You know, I could not imagine playing this game with 2 people. Like one player is hard enough, like just figuring out how you need to, use Ren and Stimpy in combination to pull their moves off. But if you have 2 players playing this game simultaneously, I could not imagine beating the first stage in this game. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, the only thing I could see is that the second player just stands near the first player, and the first player does all the controls. Like, what? How could you possibly co-op play this? It seems ridiculous.
It would seemingly make it way more difficult.
Unnecessarily difficult.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're both just jumping around with fly swatters and towels. Like, you need that cooperation. you just need the AI to take over.
Yeah. Huel, how about you? Was there anything else you wanted to add about this one?
We got to see the blueprints for Stimpy's invention, and one of the equations that Stimpy has come up with is C plus A equals T. Which
that's
appreciate.
Kind of clever. Yeah.
Yeah. Stimpy is, in fact, a cat.
Mm. It is weird because he is portrayed as an idiot for the most part on the show, but then he's also an inventor, which seemingly takes some intelligence, but it's always stupid stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like dumb luck, really, that his Mutate-O-Matic worked at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say, did it work? Kind of went haywire. I don't know.
Yeah. So?
It turned on, which is a five-star invention.
Yes, yes.
By anyone's measure.
Yes. Well, we should probably move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
Oh, you know what? I did get an email. Oh. And this one is from a new writer, and they wrote, "Dear YPB, why do men play The Sims? Like, I see gamers that are boys and men playing The Sims 1, Sims 2, Sims 3, and The Sims 4. Isn't this game for girls and women? It's basically Dollhouse, but virtual. Wouldn't they rather be playing Halo or GTA? That's what I play, and I'm a man in my early 20s. And that was from cooldude69@gmail.com.
Well, I'm convinced. You know, I never really thought of it that way. It is kind of like a dollhouse. Yeah, you're right. Men shouldn't be playing that.
Whoa. When you put it that way, you know, I put my hours in on The Sims, but when you put it that way, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, dollhouses are for girls, and boys shouldn't play with them. Wow, he's really opened my eyes. I'm gonna throw out my copy of The Sims 3 right as soon as we're done this.
Yeah, delete all your save files.
Erased.
Format C drive, enter.
I'm going to run a magnet across it.
Just delete all traces. You know, I don't know. The thing was, I was never huge into the Sims. So I can't comment. SimCity was fun.
Yeah. Sure, but that's a city planner position.
You're building. Yeah,
like
you're
a
building.
Mayor or something.
Or an engineer. Yeah.
Most of the people I knew who played The Sims liked to do weird stuff to them, like try to make them die. So that was always somewhat distressing to me. So
especially if they like make Sims out of like their friends and stuff.
Oddly, it was always a Sim. It was always my Sim character. They said that they were creating. So yeah, in hindsight, that is really worrying.
You get at least one message every month on your Facebook saying, "Hey Steve, I made a Sims character from you, I'm gonna kill him."
It's just screenshots of some redhead Sim getting burned with a stove.
Yeah. Hey Steve, I put you in a room again with no bathroom. It's great. So, well, Huel, did you receive any mails?
I got an email in my email box, and it says, "Dear YPB, I heard you guys mention me last week, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't say my name so much. I can't let my location be known. It could endanger both my safety and the safety of the country. I've been tasked with a very covert operation that, if compromised, could spell certain doom for civilization. On an unrelated note, Moscow is lovely in the summer. It really gets a bad rap for some reason. Anyway, I was wondering, what's your favorite secret agent video game?" And that is from Dusk Johnson.
Oh, Dusk Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. Great American hero.
Great.
Apparently.
Very close friend to Afternoon Jones.
Yep. It was his former partner.
I had forgotten the name of his partner. Afternoon Jones and Dusk Johnson.
So yeah, he was wondering, what's your favorite secret agent video game? I mean, there's one obvious answer.
I mean, the obvious is GoldenEye, of course.
Yeah,
right?
We can beat her on the bush.
Yeah. The obvious one.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, there's other ones.
Mm.
You know, it's tough to, you know, Snake himself, Mr. Metal Gear, is a secret agent in his series.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. I'd
probably classify him
as that.
Yeah. You know, ninjas.
Covert.
Shinobi. As
are they
pluralized?
Oh boy,
Shinobi. Those are secret agents.
Okay, yeah.
Ninja Gaidens are secret agents.
Those feel more like ninjas. Like ninjas do secretive things, but
those ninjas feel more like
Ninja
ninjas.
Gaiden is a ninja.
I feel like. I don't know.
They're their own thing. You know, they're not.
Yeah, ninjas are different. It's like how a hot dog is not really a sandwich. A hot dog is.
No.
You know, the saying, I just did a quick Google on the wiki. spy video games. James Bond, of course, is up there. He's got plenty of spy video games. Metal Gear's up there. Mr. Snake himself.
Okay.
Perfect Dark. Is yep. that a spy series? I've not played any of the Perfect Darks.
What?
Huel, I think you are a Perfect Dark expert.
I am a Perfect games? Dark fan. Yeah, absolutely. It's just GoldenEye reskinned. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And gender swapped.
It's basically Rare knowing that they were going to leave Nintendo at some point and getting their own hot IP out there.
No,
door.
Not that. They just lost the James Bond license. That's all. Oh, they were still on N64 yeah. and stuff.
Yeah.
So they just made Perfect Dark instead. And it's yeah. great.
Because the character's name is Joanna Dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the reason
what,
why.
What a coincidence that her name was the same as the game, the setting she's in.
That's what makes yes. it so good. Yes.
Hitman is another popular spy man.
He's not a spy. He's a hitman.
Yeah, but he spies around hitting people.
Hitting men. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Spies around hitting people.
He's got to spy on them before he kills them, I guess.
Yeah. GoldenEye would have been my answer.
You can say it. It's fine.
One of the only other games I had that starred spies. So I had Elevator Action as a kid. Did you guys ever play that one?
Is that a spy game? He's just running around shooting people.
I think he's supposed to be a spy in the game, though.
Now, is a spy a secret agent? Are they the same thing? Do they do the same thing? Because this email, Dusk Johnson asks, secret agent video game.
Oh. Well, I think he's definitely a...
I don't know if
he's
got
definitely
track.
A secret agent, then.
Okay.
Because I think secret agents, like, they shoot more than spies do.
Yeah, they're in there doing sure, missions.
Yeah.
Spies are always in the cover.
They're getting
things done. If you know there's a spy, then he's not a spy anymore.
Mm.
Because he's been revealed. He's not a spy anymore.
Yep.
Oh. And the other game I thought of was a really bad one that a relative bought for me, and it was called Rolling Thunder.
Ooh.
Which was
Is that
kind
that
of
Garth
like
a Brooks song?
I think it might be. It's also apparently a film. So no, it's a weird game where I think you are shooting KKK members in it, though. So that part's good.
Oh, Todd's not going to like it then.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess GoldenEye would definitely be my answer. Mm. So,
and for my answer, since GoldenEye has already been taken off the plate, I'm going to go for a game for the Game Boy called Secret Agent Barbie.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Well, good times.
Good times. Oh, man. Yeah.
I also, now that I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for Rolling Thunder, I do remember it had a very racy cover. So,
That's something.
Thunder, a new background for me.
Thunder Down Under.
Yep. I just tried to share it in the chat, and of course, it shared the wrong version. So, well, good times on that.
It's like a crawl in the corner there.
It was a confusing game because it was like, oh, there are these green skin guys all of a sudden, but everyone else is dressed like KKK members in different colored robes.
Oh, boy. Oh,
there
we
are. Shared the right image this time.
Okay.
Anyways.
Wow. I want to be a spy.
It is a secret agent holding a buxom lady. So, anyway, I did not receive any mails this week. So, Todd, let's move right along to the ask portion. Does anyone need help this week?
Somebody does need help, but hey, hold your horses. We're running long. Hang on. I know your email says time sensitive, but you can wait. We'll hold it to next week.
All right, then. Well, I think we're just about ready to wrap then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get to the snifferoo, fellas, let's peel that curtain back a little bit.
And a lot of curtain peeling tonight. A
lot of curtain peeling. on most weeks we have a game already planned out that we want to play. We have some game anniversary coming up. We have some guest that wants to play a specific game. But next week we do not have anybody that wants to play any game. We do not have any anniversary coming up. So instead of turning to Siri, I thought we would spin the wheel ourselves live and in person.
Oh.
And let's do a bit. I'm leaning to call. And this is folks, listeners, we're peeling back the curtain so far. I don't have an official name for this yet. But what I have it in my notes here. I'm going to call it. It is our decision to choose the fate of our destiny.
Oh.
And what I have here is a coin. And boys, you can see right here in person. I'm showing it right to you.
Yep.
Right now.
Live in studio.
Coin. It's a quarter.
Yep, I see
it. A quarter. On one side, I have painted on the elf Link's face on one side.
Yep, the famous elf.
The famous elf Link on one side. On the other side, I painted Arnold Schwarzenegger from Last Action Hero's face.
You know, you had an opportunity here. You should have painted Tails.
Yeah, no. Okay. Tails is from a good game series. Tails is from a good game series.
Oh, I see what's going on.
He would be on the head side. Even,
okay,
even
I see
though
what's
he
going
were
on
Tails.
Here. All right.
Yeah, so once right, I have
I jumped the gun. Elf, I jumped the gun.
Link the Elf has been painted on one side.
Okay.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger from Last Action Hero has been painted on the other side. Yep. So I'm going to flip this coin here.
Okay.
Give me a second here. I need to get the coin right up to the mic so I can flip it for the audience to hear. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's come up with a two.
What?
A two means a tails.
Wait, what the hell are you talking about? But what does a tails mean?
Sorry. I'm still using U.S. American currency at this point. We've come up with Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Last Action Hero. Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Last Action Hero means we are going to play a bad game next week.
Oh, okay.
And a bad game, fellas.
Oh, did you pre-select?
I predetermined a list of games. I've taken the top 550 games from GameFAQs.com. The 500 top 550 ranked games on GameFAQs.com. I've taken out all the modern games, all the games we've covered,
get them out of there.
And I've whittled 550 down to 83 games on GameFAQs.com.
Wow,
those are the best games. But I'm moving to the next tab because we pulled a Arnold Schwarzenegger this week, and I'm moving to the top 200 worst games of all time. On GameFAQs.com.
The bottom 200.
The bottom 200.
So you pulled the top 200 and bottom 200.
Yeah, and then whittled the bottom 200 games down to 119 worst games of all time.
So many more.
And let me
so now you'll
spin the wheels. Let me spin the Arnold Schwarzenegger wheel.
Oh, okay, cool.
The commemorative in memory of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here we go.
Oh, I love it.
All right. And it has landed on 103. And the 103 game on our list is, oh, boys, Silver Surfer for the NES.
Ooh, okay. Oh.
Silver Surfer for the NES.
Surfer. I love it. This has been quite a segment.
That was quite the ride we took.
It landed on 103. So, you know, cutting out all the trash, the various PS2, PS3, PS4 games from the list.
Yeah, post
this is actually the 177th worst game on GameFAQs.com,
okay.
Which is 103 for us. the pre 2000 and below games. We have Silver Surfer for the
minus,
NES. That's what
minus
we're playing,
ones we played, playing. I guess.
Yeah, minus what we played. Silver Surfer for the NES coming up next week, folks.
Okay, I love it.
Wow. Well,
what a roller coaster.
I will have to find Snifferoo for that game or that game series. I'll do my best.
I almost never want to pick a game ahead of time again.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. So on that note, sweet baby boys, let's sign off with a clip from the old Silver Surfing.